All right, I'll invite you to turn today to the book of 1 John. I want to read to you 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9 for your consideration today. All right, hear the word of the Lord. 1 John 3, 4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." That's the word of the Lord. Let's thank him for it. Father, we do thank you that you have communicated to us, Lord, through your word. And we simply pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us through our meditations here this morning. I ask you, Father, to teach us and lead us in the way we ought to go. In Christ we pray, amen. All right, well, for the last couple of weeks, since we finished Ephesians, we've been talking about the way of peace. Great choice there for the offertory, Sandy. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father, right? It's now December. Christmas season is fully upon us. We're going to be hearing a great deal even from outside the church, especially if you pay attention to advertising about peace, right? At least for a few weeks. The unsaved world looks for peace, hopes to get a dose of it during the holidays. We know this, though, that whatever peace they may get over the next few weeks, if any, is fleeting. Of course, the whole Christmas season is rooted in the Christian message, God's goodwill toward men. For a lot of the world, though, the form that God's will, God's goodwill toward men actually assumed is held in rather low regard. You know how the scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Well, a lot of the world isn't very interested in being reconciled to God, is it? A lot of the world doesn't accept the notion that the Son of God was incarnate in order to be, as we discussed last week, to be offered as a propitiation for our sins. Not that interested in forsaking sin and turning to righteousness. The peace that they are looking for, or at least what they think they're looking for, is more like the happy holiday memories type of peace. You know, a little vacation from work, a little exchanging of gifts and good cheer, that kind of thing, right? And so hence the songs, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire, it's so delightful. Okay, it's this is the season for that kind of peace, right? We know from experience that if that is what you're looking for in December, you only get a few doses of it in between all of the running around and the activity. And sometimes even those moments get ruined. You know, somebody at the party gets sick, somebody gets into an argument, food didn't turn out right, there's all the cleaning up to do, and so on and so forth. And then it's all over, January comes, and it's back to the grind and, you know, the wintry gray besides. Okay, so like I said, it's fleeting because it's an imitation peace, right? It's a mimicry of true peace. We've been trying to find out what's real peace. Well, we began a couple of weeks ago, Zacharias, right? The day spring from on high has visited us to guide our feet into the path of peace, right? To guide our feet into the way of peace. Then John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe in the good news. What happened? The people came confessing their sins, right? They're getting ready to walk in the way of peace. And then peace was made on the cross. God set forth Christ, his Son, a propitiation for the sins of the unjust. So remember how we talked about God needed to be just, right? He must punish the violations of his law. So in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, he was just. Sin was punished. And he's now able to justify those who put their trust in Christ. So that was Romans 5. Remember how it said then, we having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, right? Through him we have access into this grace in which we now stand. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's really what the soul needs, right? That's the awakened heart of a sinner needs to be unburdened of its load of guilt, its sense of restlessness and despair. It needs to receive the tender mercy of our God, a new life, a purged record, right? The redemption is what we call it. I'm free from the burden, from the chains, from the power of sin. Okay, now when that is done, the one of the chief goals of God in a man's life has been accomplished. Right, the man is awakened to righteousness. He's been pardoned of his guilt. He's become, the Bible says, a son of the living God. Right, and we read about that in the first chapter of John. We read that often at Christmas time. Why was the Word made flesh? Why did he come and dwell among us? Right, Charlie Brown says, can't anyone tell me what Christmas is all about? Well, I can tell you, Charlie Brown, he came to his own, and although his own didn't receive him, to whoever did, to as many as did, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. Okay, so now, having been justified, right, having been pardoned and accepted and adopted by the Lord God, how do we now continue along the way of peace? We referred to Mr. Christian from Pilgrim's Progress last week. It's good that Mr. Christian is in the way, but it's right there in the title, progress, right? You must make progress. How do you progress along the way, and how do you get to the goal? You know, of course, how Paul informed his hearers that it's through many tribulations that we have to enter the kingdom of God. Right, Amazing Grace says, through many dangers, toils, and snares. Well, that doesn't sound very peaceful to me. Sounds like the opposite, right? You've enlisted. Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship with me like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound very peaceful. It sounds like the opposite. Okay, well, it's the way of peace. Peace can be found in the way, and at the goal is perfect peace. Right? It's not, though, universal peace right from the start. Right? That is the goal, though, and that is the prize. Christ calls you to himself and says, follow me. Right? He calls the sinner, repent, there is good news. Right? The sinner responds to the call. He confesses, he submits. Right? The sinner receives the regeneration, the grace of God, the new life. Right? Just like Ephesians said, even when you were dead in sin, God quickened you, right? He made you alive. Now, having been reconciled, saints, having been reconciled to God through the death of his son, Romans 5 says, how much more, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life, right? Follow me. We have a living Savior. He calls us to follow me, right? Where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Right, and the redeemed one who's been born again, he bravely and happily says, yes, Lord, wherever you go, I will go. Right, lead me in the path of peace. Now, are there tears along the way? There are struggles along the way? Well, yes, but the most important thing, peace with God, that at least has been taken care of, and for the beginning Christian, even that is more than enough. We need to understand and know at this point in our lives, Christians, we need to know this immovable truth that it is God's will to lead us to perfect peace, right? It is God's will to lead his children to perfect peace. That's what the scripture says. It isn't his will, okay, contrary to what some people seem to think, it isn't his will to trouble us, to disturb us and upset and frighten us, right? It is God's will to lead us to perfect peace. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this, "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way." All right, that's the objective. Same book, chapter 2, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation by good hope and by his grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Right? Peace always in every way as we follow the Lord Jesus in the way that he leads us. Okay? The beginning Christian might say, well, then why all the hardships and the pains and the persecution and so on? Well, the reason we say that is because we're confusing peace with relaxation. Okay, that's the world's misconception, and it's easy to fall into. This is what people think of when they think of holiday peace, right? The fire is so delightful. Okay, that's Christmas. Let's relax. Let's eat. Okay, as if that's the reason that God sent Christ into the world, you know? As if that's the message that the angels announced to the shepherds, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, a month of relaxation. Okay, don't confuse the goal, perfect peace, with the way to the goal, which happens to be sometimes bumpy, right? And the scripture even says unpleasant. Okay, peace always and in every way, that is what God has in mind. But part of the process of faith, believers, is realizing that God the Father will bring about perfect peace in his own way, right? According to the methods of his infinite fatherly wisdom, right? Jesus says, "Follow me." We say, "All right, Lord, I will. I trust you." Right? After all, you shed your blood to rescue me. And he says, "Will you follow me even if it means that you have to drink the cup that I drink? Will you follow me even if it means you have to bear a cross of your own? Will you follow me even if it means you must deny yourself?" And we say, "Lord, are you sure this is the way of peace?" And he says, "I assure you that it is." Well, in that case, Lord, lead on. Okay, and the scripture says about submitting to a father, a wise father, that all chastening at the moment seems to be painful and unpleasant. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it, right? Peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what we've got our eyes set on. Okay, brings us to our text here, 1 John 3. When Jesus says, "Follow me," right? "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." What has he got in mind for us, right? His sacrifice, his burial, resurrection, his ascension, our regeneration. That's the beginning of our walk of our life in God, right? We've been reconciled to God. Now what? So look at verse 5. John says this, "You know that he was manifested to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him doesn't sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Here is it again. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So whoever has been born of God does not sin, for God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Right? In verse 4 said, "Whoever commits sin commits lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. When it says that the Son of God was manifested to take away our sins, take away doesn't just mean that he took away the punishment for our sins, right? He intends to take away sin from out of our lives altogether, right? John said in chapter 2, "Brothers, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin," right? Beloved, now we are children of God, right? This is the beginning of chapter 3. We're waiting anxiously for the Lord Jesus to be revealed. We know that we'll be like him then because we'll see him as he is. But 3:3 says, "Whoever has this hope in him purifies himself," right? Now, in our Advent season, we have to affirm and understand this. Why was the Son of God manifested? Not only, and as important as it is, and we can't have salvation without it, but not only to propitiate God, to divert God's wrath against our sin away from us, but to purify us, right? To purify for himself his own special people zealous for what is good, to take away our sins, not just as a matter of a judicial penalty, but to actually cause us to cease from sin. Okay, he was manifested to destroy the work of the devil. Now, look at what man and woman have become because of the devil. Consider the damage he has done to us, the distortion of the image of God in the human race, right? Because of the devil, we are, for one thing, we're tainted by fleshly passions, okay? That they harm us. Right? Because of the devil, we fight and we quarrel with one another, and we have contended with people, and we've taken advantage of people, and we've hurt others. Right? Because of him, we were blinded to the truths of the living God, and we tried to make up God in our own image, right? According to our own fancies and preferences. Like, we're still taken in by any number of lies. Right? It's because of the devil that we're subject to mortality in the first place, right? Sin came into the world and death came by sin. Like, why do we die? Why do we get old and decay? Well, that's because of him. All of our sorrows, everything that's wrong with the human race mentally, spiritually, right? All of our sinful inclinations, it all comes from him. The animosity, the brutality, the lechery, the depression, the laziness, right? Everything that corrupts the image of God in a man is the devil's work. Right? Outwardly, we're wasting away. That's the devil's work. Right? Hateful and hating one another. That's the devil's work. Right? When Christ finds a person, he's quite wretched. Okay, so Jesus was manifested to destroy the devil's work, right? To repair the damage, clean up the stains, turn the lights on in the darkness, and throw away the trash, right? He was manifested to take away our sins. In him, there's no sin. Whoever abides in him then ceases from sin. Okay, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's just Paul saying the same thing that John says here. Okay, whoever continues in sin hasn't seen him or known him. So what does this mean? Turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, right? If you've seen him, when you see him, sin in your life is going to shrivel up and wither away, right? The damage and the corruption done by the devil is going to heal and become new. Back in chapter 2, John said this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Right? The one who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar. The truth isn't in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. This is how we know we're in him. Whoever says he abides in him also ought to walk just as he walked. Okay, there's your idea of progress. Progress on the way of peace means walking just as Jesus walked. Your peace will grow. Your peace will abide as you, right, having been justified, that's got to come first. But as you bring your thought life and your conduct and your love in line with those of Christ, right? We're talking about harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a wellspring of peace, right? No matter what's happening all around us in the world, harmony with Christ sets the heart at rest, right? It's abundant peace. Really, what are we talking about? We're talking about holiness, right? What do you mean when we say holiness? We mean walking as Jesus walked. Follow me, right? Jesus said, whoever commits sin, John says, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ, right? That he has loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. That is why God anointed him with the overwhelming gladness over all others, right? Why does God delight in Jesus? Because Jesus loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. Okay, so children, I write this so that you won't sin. Sin is lawlessness, right? Jesus will undo the devil's work in you. He will take away, if you walk with him, he will take away your sins, your fears, your confusion, your ignorance, right? He heals the poison of the serpent. Okay, so that is why over in Thessalonians, when it says, may the God of peace give you peace always and in every way, that goes hand in hand with the other benediction from Thessalonians, where it says, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through, right? May your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus, right? Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. How? Follow me, right? He took them away judicially by dying on the cross. He takes them away from us in actuality, existentially, when we follow him. Okay, abide in me, walk as I walk, keep my commandments. Right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? Set the eyes of your heart on things above, not the things down here. Now, to me, it's very important that the present-day church understands this thoroughly, because there's so much now compromise with sin and with the world's value system in the church right now. Right? And this call to holiness is not being heard in a lot of places. Right? Whoever says he knows Jesus must walk as he walked. He has to set his mind on things above, not things down here. And people are not hearing that message, and so they're going to their destruction, because the church is so much about social matters now instead of personal transformation into the restored likeness of God. Okay, we talk more about politics on the left, politics on the right. These things are informing many people's thinking, even in Christian circles, and not thinking about the pursuit of purity, right? We're not thinking about the pursuit of harmony with our Lord Jesus Christ and his fullness, the knowledge of his ways. I get phone calls from my son out there at college, and it's surprising to me how often he's got something to tell me about how his classmates think. And sometimes even his professors, a Christian college, right? But how much their 20-year-old outlook on life is determined more by the spirit of the age than by the word of God, right? How readily they are willing to bend on some of the most important Christian doctrines, how little they have built their worldview on the word of God, and really how slippery their grasp of the word of God is altogether. Right, how they seem to think that if the word of God speaks on a topic, that's kind of open to debate, right? On matters of morality or purity or responsibility. And here is a young person, a young Christian, still trying to fashion God according to their own impressions. Okay, well, the 20-year-old mind is often, the impressions are, they often come from hot takes on social media. They come from, you know, hair on fire stories in the news. They come from peer pressure and so on. They come from TV instead of from the Word. Okay, and these are the people who are going to be taking over the churches before very long. And I wonder how well things are going to go for the churches when this kind of people are going to be in charge, right? We have got to ourselves and then train our children to keep our noses in the book, right? Who is the Lord? What does he say? What's he like? What does he love? What does he hate? How can I bind my heart to his heart? How can we walk with him? Right? Because the world is full of lies and compromises and destructive ideas. It's full of strife. It's full of unrest. Christ came to take away all that and get rid of it, right? Throw the trash out. He came to destroy the devil's work. Follow me, right? My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Abide in my word. Keep my commandments. That's the only way to progress in the way of peace, right? Let's devote our attention to the scriptures and to the Savior who is revealed to us in the scriptures. God's will is that we actually cease from sin. Right, be holy, for I am holy. Right, may the God of peace himself sanctify us completely. May we set our minds on things above. Right, because quarreling and contention, those things are sin. All this social struggle, it's sin. Okay, lust and impurity, they're sin, right? Follow me, walk with me. Right? I was manifested to rid you of your sin, to take it away, right? Not just to pay the judicial price, but in actual practice, I came to heal all your maladies, all your damage, all your diseases, all your distortions. Okay, so that's why the scripture says things that are true and good, things that are noble and pure, things that are lovely and commendable, right? Things that are just. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves righteousness. He hates lawlessness, right? Whatsoever is praiseworthy and virtuous, right? Think on these things. Whatever you see, learn, hear, and observe in Christ and in his apostles, those things do, and the God of peace will be with you. Right? That's harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fountain. It's a wellspring of peace. Imagine a heart that did not condemn you. Right? It's a wonderful thing to look at yourself and see how you've made progress, isn't it? I hope that you can. I hope that you have. Look back at yourself from years ago. Look at yourself today. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say, God is sanctifying me. Right? God's word is teaching me. God is quieting my heart. I do win victories over sin. I do love Christ even better than I did when I first met him. I do find myself far less alarmed at all the sirens going off in the world and the wreckage of it. I do find myself less susceptible to the devil's tactics and lures. And that, friends, has nothing to do with what month it is. You understand? Our peace is not to be found at a buffet table. It's not found in a bottle. It's not found under a tree. It's not found in a stocking. Okay? It comes from harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of the holy, holy, holy Lord God, who was and is to come. Right? May the Lord make us holy as he is holy. May the Lord take away our sins and set our hearts at rest in his presence. Thank God for his wonderful peace. Peace coming down from the Father above. Amen. Let's bless the Lord as we pray. Jesus Christ, our Savior, I thank you for the mission that you have set about to do, not just to wash our guilt away, but to change us, Lord, to become like yourself. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the work that you're doing in each of us. Lord, I thank you for the progress that we can truly say with gladness that we have made, Lord, that you have made. Thank you for working in our hearts. Thank you for being so patient and persistent with us. Indeed, open the eyes of our hearts to see you more clearly and to love you more dearly. In the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.